Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go through overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
Yo, what's going on, everybody, this morning? Welcome back to another episode of Great Mornings Podcast. And yes, you guessed it. It's a great morning. It's a great morning. It's a great morning. I'm still so incredibly impressed by this song. It's a hype song. It's a dope song. And I keep telling y'all every other week that my man Justice Ogden did his thing. We call him OJ. And this song will be produced by myself. And I definitely would be hyped and encouraged and promoted for the artist who's Justice Ogden. And again, it's just super dope. Today, family, I might sound a little bit less enthused in my voice because today's subject is a little bit on the dark side, if you will. I don't even know if that's the right term to use, but that's the term I've been using the previous weekend. So again, y'all already know who it is. It's James L. Cray, your boy. And I'm here today to talk about a very sensitive subject. So I want to go ahead and give you any if there's anybody right now that wants to kind of bail out, go ahead and bail out. I totally understand. I hope that you'll stick through it. Again, it's a very sensitive subject and there are triggers that might be mentioned. Because we're going to talk about violence, sexual violence, domestic violence, sexual assault, every area that you could think of with violence. We're going to reference it at least, because I think the areas that we're going to talk about, it kind of deals with those, right? So I titled this From Pain to Prosperity. And I'm gonna mention this because I got to. I've been a lot more open with my own personal experiences, right? This past weekend at the church here in California, True Vine Bible Fellowship, Saturday and Sunday, we were privileged to have Three Heart Connections with the founder, Shawnee's Heart, come through, and they really blessed us. On Saturday, they did a domestic violence awareness, I almost said webinar, like a seminar, workshop. It was so informative, so much information. And it just really made me reflect. And I started thinking about my own experiences and situations I had that I've witnessed and viewed with domestic violence and with assault, abuse, sexual abuse. And it made me think back to my college years. Actually made me go back to my childhood. Unfortunately, not often. I think my mom experienced domestic violence a lot, but she did a good job of shielding me. I only seen certain instances, a few instances rather. I didn't see like every situation, but I know there were many. But she did a great job of shielding me from that. But it made me go back to my childhood and think briefly about what I've seen my mom go through, what I've seen aunts go through, what I've seen other women go through. But then it really hit me when it made me go back to college, the presentation that they gave. And shout out to Three Heart real quick. Make sure you connect with them. You can go to their social media page. I think it's at Three Heart Connections on Instagram and then Facebook. It's Three Heart Connections, H-A-R-T. A couple sisters and a cousin got together. And they're advocating for domestic violence victims and survivors. So I just want to give that quick plug and shout out to them. But back on track to what I was mentioning, it really made me go back to college. And I was thinking about, you know, being in a locker room, a football locker room. I've heard so many times guys will come in and be like, man, I had to knock that upside the head. She got out of line. or man, I choked her after the club, you know, or whatever. I've heard so many times before where guys say stuff, and me being the type of person I am, like a lot of other brothers in the locker room, is like, man, that ain't none of my business. So we might be like, wow, and then go on about our business, right? But they talked about bystanders on Saturday and being wise witnesses and how to convey when you convey the message to authorities whenever you see these situations. And it so convicted me because I can think of five situations off the top of my head where I've literally heard people say what they did to people. And I witnessed some with my own eyes and was like, that ain't my problem. That ain't my issue. Like, I saw a dude on campus shoot at a girl. I seen a dude on campus like choke a girl in a dorm room. Well, my business sat there. That ain't got nothing to do with me. And then it made me go to my own personal experiences. I've been an abuser. Honestly, it's so hard to say, and it's a little bit easier to say this because I'm literally recording right now in my closet by myself. So it's a little bit easier to say now. But I have physically put my hands on women before. In college, I pushed a girl down the stairs one time. I didn't intentionally mean for her to go down the stairs, but she was bugging me. She was like, rake me. I pushed her. Another girl pushed me in my chest and my reflexes. I just grabbed her and pushed her. So I'm an abuser in that regard, but I'm also, that's more domestic, but I'm also a sexual abuser. And I wasn't even aware that it was abuse initially until I went to Morehouse College. They had an event called No Means No, kind of like a seminar or a workshop. And the lady was speaking, guy and lady were both speaking, and they were telling us that no absolutely means no. And I grew up in a culture where brothers and men and friends would tell you, if she said no, that just means try harder. So I found myself realizing that there have been situations that I was in sexually where the girl was like, nah, I don't want to do this. And then I keep kissing her on the neck. She'd be like, nah, I don't want to do this. No, I can't do this. No, don't do this. Then I keep touching and keep saying, come on, you can do it. You know, and all those things, man, ultimately become sexual abuse. Because I found out at that seminar that some women only give in, not even necessarily giving you a yes. They only give in because they're afraid. And they know that if they fight or reject, they could be in a life-threatening situation. And that thing messed me up. Like, even right now, Sunday at church, when I preached about this, it brought tears to my eyes. When I listened to one of the young ladies, Shanice Hart, when I listened to her from the Three Heart Connection give her testimony, man, it brought tears to my eyes because I started reminiscing on what I seen as a child, what I had witnessed in locker rooms, and then what I had did myself. So today, I just want to speak to victims, to survivors, to abusers. I want to speak to all three entities that there's prosperity after pain. And I'm going to talk about it in two primary areas. I want to first talk about it, domestic violence, right? Some just basic statistics. 10 million people a year experience some form of domestic violence. One in every four women experience domestic violence. And that thing strikes me because my daughter is a young lady. My daughter will be a woman. And one in every four women. And then there's different types of domestic violence. Like, we're so familiar with the physical, but physical is the primary, most zeroed in form of domestic violence. But there's also emotional domestic violence. There's economic violence. There's verbal violence. Stalking is a form of domestic violence. Intimidation is a form of domestic violence. Controlling is a form of domestic violence. Psychological, and I might have mentioned emotional. All these are forms of domestic violence. So 10 million people a year and one in every four women experience domestic violence. And then sexual abuse. This is a crazy statistic, man. One in every five young girls and one in 20 young boys, one in every 20 young boys are victims of child sexual abuse. One in every five girls and one in every 20 boys. Children, man. It's also been reported, according to some statistics, that 20% of adult females have experienced sexual abuse at some stage in their life. 20%. 10% of adult males can recall being sexually abused in their childhood. That's a lot, y'all. There's millions and millions of young women. There's millions and millions of women. There's millions and millions of men in this country. And 20% of those millions, that's a large number. 10% of those millions, that's 100,000, 200,000, depending on how many million it is. That's a lot of guys. That's a lot of women that have been sexually abused, sexually molested. Domestic violence, 10 million people a year. Think about those statistics. That's bananas, right? But what I want to talk about today, preferably, is a little bit more encouraging. I want to talk about from pain to prosperity, from the pain of domestic abuse, being a victim, even being an abuser. Because what a lot of people don't realize, I talked about this Sunday in the sermon, that a lot of abusers, their pain is shame. They realize it clicks. This is what I did. And now the shame becomes pain. So as we pray for victims and as we cover victims, we got to pray for abusers too. So this is for the abuser too, that you can move from pain to prosperity, from the pain, the hurt, everything that comes along with being a victim. You can move from that pain to prosperity. Everything that comes along with being an abuser, because a large percentage of abusers were just people that had been abused. So you can move from that pain to prosperity. I want to start by really defining prosperity, because the word prosperity, especially when we look at it from a church perspective, has gained such a negative. It has such a negative connotation that follows it now in today's society. In reality, it's had a negative connotation behind it since the 80s. What people call the prosperity gospel and preachers preaching and talking about money. But prosperity is a thing of God. Here's what Jeremiah 29 and 11 says in the Good News translation. I alone know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. That's God speaking to Jeremiah, making it relevant to us today, that God's plan for all of us is to bring us prosperity. We've just allowed a few in society and a few preachers to contaminate the term prosperity, but it's not a bad term. Let me define it for you with several different sources. The first definition, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, online, obviously, I got a dictionary though. I got a Merriam-Webster dictionary in my office at the church, but this is from Merriam-Webster's dictionary online. Prosperity is defined like this: the condition of being successful or thriving. That's it. Nothing more. Prosperity is defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary online: the condition of being successful or thriving. And then it says, especially economic well-being. But the primary definition of prosperity is the condition of being successful or thriving. Here's the King James Version dictionary definition. Y'all didn't know that the Bible has its own definition, right? So the King James Version dictionary defines prosperity as this: advance or gain in anything good or desirable. Successful progress in any business or enterprise. Success, attainment of the object desired, as the prosperity of the arts, agriculture, or commercial prosperity, national prosperity. So listen to this. All prosperity is, according to the Bible dictionary, is advance or gain in anything good or desirable. Successful progress in any business or enterprise. Success. That's what prosperity is. And then Google has a definition. If you type the word prosperity meaning in Google, Google provides you now with a definition. And Google's definition I really like. It calls it prosperity theology, sometimes referred to as the prosperity gospel. But listen to this part. the health and wealth gospel. This is what prosperity is according to Google and prosperity theology. It's about living in good health and good wealth. That's all prosperity is. We can sum prosperity up in these few terms: success and living with good health and good wealth. That's all you need to know about prosperity. Don't get lost in the prosperity gospel. Oh, they just asking you to name it and claim it and get money, and all they talk about is money. That's wrong. That's contaminated. All prosperity means the prosperity that God spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29 and 11 to us, according to the Good News Translation, that God wants to bring all of us prosperity. God is just saying, I want to bring all of you success, good health, and good wealth. That's what prosperity is. And what I'm going to talk about today for the next few moments, I want to give you five things that will help you go from pain to prosperity, success, good health, and good wealth. On your mark, get set, and go. So the very first one is this, and we're dealing with domestic violence, we're dealing with sexual abuse, sexual assault, we're dealing with emotional, psychological abuse, we're dealing with economic abuse, verbal abuse, stalking, intimidation, controlling. We're dealing with every level of abuse. Anybody that has experienced abuse, this is the first thing that helps us go from the pain of abuse to the prosperity of God. I like that. From the pain of abuse to the prosperity of God. Number one, embrace your experience. This one starts off very heavy and it's very tough, because what tends to happen a lot of times is that people that have been raped, that have been molested, that have been sexually assaulted, that has been sexually abused, that have experienced the trauma of domestic violence, a lot of times they try to get that experience out of their mind, try to erase that experience. But what I'm telling you today, the first thing that will bring you from pain to prosperity is embracing your experience. You have to know, yes, it really did happen to me. This really did happen to me. Like, you can't get in a place and lock yourself in psychological isolation trying to convince yourself that this didn't really happen to me. Because an officer said, at the domestic violence awareness event that we had this past weekend, the officer that was there said, or the sheriff that was there said to us, that domestic violence does not care about how much money you make. It does not care about your prestige. It does not care about your position. It does not care about your ethnicity. Domestic violence, abuse, sexual abuse, assault, these things don't care about who you are. They happen to the best of people as well as the least of people. So embracing your experience requires that you say, this really happened to me. I'm not above this. I'm not below this. Somebody really did this to me. Because here's the reality. Denial is destruction. When you are stuck in a place of denial that this didn't happen, this couldn't have happened, this didn't happen to me, this couldn't happen to me, this didn't happen to me, this couldn't happen to me, that causes internal destruction. You can look good on the outside, hide from it and cover it up on the outside, but on the inside, it'd be slowly eating you up, slowly destroying you. That's what denial does. But embracing your experience means you're going to be man enough and woman enough with yourself to say, you know what? This happened to me. I'm going to embrace the fact that somebody took my innocence, that somebody stole my virginity, that somebody sexually assaulted me, that somebody put their hands around my neck, that somebody punched me in my face, that somebody taking control of my money, that somebody stalking me. I'm going to embrace it. That's the first step to moving from pain to prosperity. It's almost like Alcohol Anonymous, like AAA classes. I think it is AAA classes. Alcohol Anonymous, I don't know, AA, AAA, but the classes that people go to when they're alcoholic or when they're a drug abuser, right? The very first thing they have you to do is what? Acknowledge You stand up in those meetings and you say, hey, I'm James Earl Cray. I'm an abuser. Hey, I'm James Earl Cray. I'm a victim of abuse. That's embracing your experience. And that doesn't happen instantly. I get it. I understand it. I'm not discrediting nobody's feelings or experiences. I'm not discrediting where you are. But I am telling you today that denial is destruction. You may look good on the outside. You may be successful on the outside. But if you deny that it happened to you, it will slowly and internally destroy you. So the first thing to moving from pain to prosperity, embrace your experience. The second thing to move from pain to prosperity is shake the shame. One of the things that happens with victims as well as abusers is shame. I talked about this in Sunday's sermon, that abuse has the face of shame. I was telling them the story in 2 Samuel chapter 13 with Tamar, Absalom, and Amnon. And Amnon rapes his sister Tamar. And when he rapes her, Tamar says, somewhere around verse 15, 16, 17, Tamar says, don't do this to me. Right before he gets ready to rape her, Tamar says, don't do this to me. It's gonna make me a disgust. That's her speaking. I'm gonna be so shameful if you take my innocence. It's going to be so much shame on me if you take my innocence. And then she says to Amnon, she says, listen, and you're going to be looked at like trash. You're going to be shamed as well. And then once he rapes her, there's so much shame on him, he can't even look at the victim. He has her thrown out. And the Bible says he hates her more than he loves her, because shame instantly comes on you. As a victim, shame comes on you. As an abuser, shame comes on you. But if you're going to move from pain to prosperity, you have to shake the shame, because this is the reality. Condemnation is confusing and convicting, right? And when you condemn yourself, it causes confusion. And it causes unnecessary conviction upon you. The Bible says this, that those of us that are in, there is no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. Like, you cannot allow the shame of your experience to cause you to feel condemned and to cause you to be in a place of confusion and experiencing unnecessary conviction. Shake the shame. Why, Cray? It's not your fault. It's not your fault that you were raped. It is not your fault that somebody put their hands on you. It is not your fault that somebody is taking control of your money. It is not your fault that somebody is stalking you. It is not your fault that you were molested. That's not your fault. So understand, you can shake the shame and you don't have to feel nasty, because you're not nasty. You don't have to feel unworthy, because you are worthy. You are not somebody that's just to be thrown away in a dungeon and locked away for the rest of your life. That is not you, because what happened to you is not your fault. It's the fault of the abuser, and the abuser is the one to be blamed. We're not making no justification for abusers, and abusers like myself, abusers like others, we have to come face to face with the reality that we did something that was distasteful in the eyes of society, that it was distasteful and displeasing in the eyes of God, that it was not societally acceptable. Like, we have to come face to face with that. So it is not you as a victim or a survivor to have pity on the abuser. Yes, we forgive. Yes, we move on. But it is not your fault. So you can shake the shame, because you got to move from pain to prosperity. Same thing for abusers. When you come face to face with your reality, when you say, you know what? I did sexually assault them. I did sexually molest that child. I did keep on telling that girl, yes, you can, let's do this, until finally she gave in to protect herself. Yes, when you can finally come in and say, yes, I put my hands on them. Yes, I took control of their money. Yes, I was social media stalking them. When you're the abuser, the aggressor, the abuser, and you come into grips with that, then you too can also shake the shame. Because repentance and asking for forgiveness and even apology it kills the root of that thing. So you don't have to walk in shame either. So the second thing, the move from pain to prosperity, is shake the shame, right? Condemnation is confusing and convicting. You don't have to be condemned. It's not your fault and you're not nasty. The person that did that to you, they're the ones that's nasty. The third thing is face your fear. I keep referencing Three Hard in their event this weekend because it was just so informative. And I'm an information hub. Like I just gather information, right? And one of the words I kept hearing that whole Saturday was fear. How fear causes somebody in a domestic violence situation to come back. Did y'all realize that it typically takes on average 7 times for somebody to leave a domestic relationship, a violent domestic relationship? Because here it is, the fear of leaving for some people. And then some people never share their story because of fear. And I kept hearing the word fear over and over again. But here's what I'm telling you. To move from pain to prosperity, you got to face your fears. Like, God didn't give us the spirit of fear. That's not of God. God didn't give you that spirit. And I know that's so churchy and it's so scriptural. And Craig, you got to understand. But I'm telling you, God did not give you the spirit of fear. And you don't have to be afraid to move on. Like, I think that so many people get stuck in that cycle and don't leave until after 7 times because the fear of moving on, the fear of nobody else wants me, the fear of I can't face society knowing that I've been in situations like this, the fear of talking to your family about it, you know, especially when you come from a really good family and everybody else in the family is married and you got people, your siblings are married and your friends are all married and they seem to be in happy marriages. And then you got to step away from your marriage because you've been physically abused by your spouse. That's fearful. That makes people afraid. But you don't have to be afraid to move on. Your life can still be prosperous. Your love life can come back. Just because you experienced one domestic violently domestic relationship, or just because you were sexually assaulted or raped, that does not mean that another man or another woman can't love you. That doesn't mean that. So you don't have to fear moving on. And don't fear your feelings. Like, facing your fear is embracing your feelings as well. Like, don't be afraid that it still makes you cry sometimes. It's okay. Like, that's something traumatic that happened to you in your life. And being strong does not mean you don't cry. God, that bothers me when people say that. When they be like, I'm too strong to cry. That's weak. That's weak to even say. The strongest people cry. And not being afraid of your feelings means I'm not afraid to say I'm still hurt. Yes, I've forgiven my abuser. Yes, I've forgiven the predator, but I was a child. They took my innocence. Yes, that hurts me. Yes, I still have feelings about how every moment I sit and think about how my life was threatened by an abuser. Yes, I have feelings about that. And nobody, listen to me, nobody can take those feelings away from you. We're moving from pain to prosperity. And even at your stage in prosperity, don't be afraid of those feelings. That's how you face your fear. You face your fear by knowing my God didn't give me this spirit and I'm able to rebuke the spirit of fear. You face your fear by not being afraid to move on. You're going to get a good job. You're going to have children, raise a great family. These are things. Move on. I can be married again. I can be in another relationship. All these things can happen despite me being sexually assaulted, despite my innocence being taken away from me, despite somebody putting their hands on me, robbing me economically, talking down on me, verbally abusing me, emotionally abusing me, psychologically abusing me. Despite all of that, I can face my fear and I can move on because I'm not afraid of my feelings. So the fourth thing, moving from pain to prosperity is create a safe corner. I think about boxing when I think about this, right? You know how boxers in the ring, they're boxing, the round is like 3 minutes, pop, 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 you know, swing left, right, boom, bell rings, ding, 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 they go back to the corner. Now, when I thought about this, I thought about the vulnerability of the boxer in the corner. Because think about it, this might get a little graphic, but y'all flow with me. So the mouthpiece in their mouth, all saliva, all this stuff, they spit it in a bucket and they trust whoever got that bucket with their mouthpiece that's got to go back in their mouth. Then you got a ringside, a corner doctor type person. And that person is patching up wounds and putting Vaseline on their face and doctoring them up. And then you got a third person in the corner who's just the encourager. Like, let's go. All right, that last round, you let him get to your inside. You let him get a punch on you to the left. Now you got to guard your left. You got a bruise on your right, so make sure you guard your right rib. You got somebody in your corner encouraging you. So you as a victim, as a survivor, as an abuser, you got to create a safe corner. All that is a healthy support system. Your safe corner is a healthy support system. Abusers, if you're listening, your healthy support corner has to be somebody that will hold you accountable. That says, listen, dog, you were too aggressive in that situation. You need to simmer down, Sway. Or you got to have somebody in your corner that tells you, that ain't right, man. That ain't right, sis. You shouldn't be talking to him like that. Because the primary form of domestic violence that women do to men is verbal. Some of y'all sisters can talk a brother all the way down to dirt. I'm talking about make them feel like they ain't nothing. And the primary source of domestic violence for men is physical. It's that fight for control. But abusers, you got to create a healthy support system for you. You got to have a safe corner. People that's going to hold you accountable and tell you, man, you should never put your hands on a woman or you shouldn't talk to him like that. But also victims and survivors. And notice I said victims and survivors, because people that are victims, you got to have somebody that you can trust. You got to have somebody that you can trust. Watch this, with the germs of your mouthpiece. See the metaphor right here? Literally, I'm talking about the mouthpiece that comes out the boxer's mouth that drops in the bucket. But for us, I'm talking about what comes out of your literal mouth. So you got to have somebody you can trust with the germs of your mouthpiece. In other words, you can trust them to tell them I'm being violated. And them not go spread your business to the whole world. Then you got to have somebody that doctors up your wounds, because this types of stuff, it causes, I mean, honestly, man, just thinking about it, you know, I'm slightly emotional right now. It causes trauma. And you got to have a safe corner around you that can help you doctor up your wounds. And then you got to have a hype man, hype woman in your corner. Somebody that's telling you, sis, I know you were violated, but you can bounce back. I know he put his hands on you, but you shall forgive and you will love again. Like, you got to have a hype person in your corner that's telling you, you can do this. You can overcome this. You can fight the fear. You can face the fear, rather. You can shake the shame. You can embrace your experience. You got to have somebody in your corner that's telling you, let's go. You got this. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You're an overcomer. You're a survivor. I know it hurt. I know it was painful. I know it's an experience you'll never forget, but you are a survivor. All I can hear is Destiny Child in my head. I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. I need every survivor out there. You should be bobbing in your car wherever you are on this Tuesday morning. In your car, sitting on the edge of your bed, I'm a survivor. Boom, boom. I'm a survivor. Boom, boom. That's what you are. Like, that's literally all I can hear in my head. I'm a survivor. Boom. That's what you are. And when you get somebody in your corner that will tell you that you are a survivor and that will be your hype person and keep saying you're a survivor and keep hyping you up, you need that. That's important. That's important. Are y'all hearing me out there? Like, I want you to know you are a survivor, right? You're a survivor, period. Listen up.
without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling. You thought I wouldn't fail without you, told my million.
I'm a survivor, I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna stop, I'm gonna work harder. I'm a survivor, I'm gonna make it. I will survive, keep on surviving. I'm a survivor, I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna stop, I'm gonna work harder. I'm a survivor, I'm gonna make it. I will survive, keep on surviving. But I couldn't breathe.
You are a survivor. And you need somebody in your corner that's going to keep telling you that. As you move from pain to prosperity, the fourth thing is create a safe corner, a healthy support system. And then the final thing is this. Tell your testimony. Tell your testimony. I know this is tough. I know this is hard. But you have to be willing to tell your testimony. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, and the word of our testimony. And as you move from pain to prosperity, you have to be willing to tell your testimony. Sharing your story is not just encouraging to others to share their story, but a lot of times it's healing for the victim and the abuser. I'm telling y'all right now from the place of someone that can honestly admit, as hard as it is, that they were an abuser, and still, and the truth is, still to this day, I have abuser tendencies, right? And the healing is me sitting here talking to y'all about it. And I've watched over this weekend other men and women start healing because they told their testimony. I mean, I've seen it on their bodies, their souls being delivered and healed because they told their testimony. And there's somebody out there today that right now you've never told anybody your story. You feel too shameful, but you got to shake the shame. You feel like you're unworthy. You feel like if I tell somebody this, they're going to look at me a certain type of way or all these things. But the reality is, tell your testimony. It's a part of the process of moving you from pain to prosperity. I know it's hard when you were sexually assaulted, by sexually abused and sexually assaulted, sexually molested by somebody in your family. I know. It was hard when you was in love with him or in love with her and they took total control over you and they tried to take your power and take your voice and they beat you and they hit you and they verbally abused you and they psychologically abused you. I know. It's tough. But I'm telling you today, tell your story and move from pain to prosperity. These five things right here should help us. Embrace your experience. Shake the shame. Face your fear. Create a safe corner. And tell your testimony. Again, family, listen. As I mentioned to you, this will be a very, very different type podcast episode. But it's Domestic Violence Month this month, and we just had this Domestic Violence Awareness Weekend, and I felt what better conversation I have on this Tuesday with you than to share with you some of the information I received this weekend, as well as my experiences and some things that can help us move from pain to prosperity. And I want you today to connect with someone. If you're a victim, if you're a survivor, if you're an abuser, connect with somebody so that you can walk through these things, so you can understand the importance, and even beyond what I share with you, of embracing your experience, so you can shake the shame, so you can face your fears, so you can create a safe corner, and so that you can tell your testimony. There's plenty of advocates out there. I just gave you one, Three Heart Connections. I keep plugging them because I'm excited about what those young women are doing. That's one major connection. There's other hotlines that you can call. If you're listening to this right now and you're currently in a situation where you're being violated, where you're being abused, get out of it. Call somebody. Let's see how we can get you some help. Family, again, today has been I don't know. I just hope that this was beneficial to you a little bit. These podcast episodes are, I'm usually so hyped and so just bouncy and et cetera. But today I wanted to make sure that I share with you this. This is the reality of things. 10 million people a year are domestically violated. One in every five girls are molested or sexually assaulted as a child. One in every 20 boys. 20% of women have experienced sexual abuse as a child. 10% of men in this country have experienced it. So these are things that we have to discuss and talk about. So family, this has been another episode of Great Mornings Podcast. I'm James Earl Cray. You can follow me on all social media handles. Just type my name in, James Earl Cray. Want you to go support that. And if you know somebody that needs to hear this episode, please send it to them. Do that for me. I love y'all so much. And I want you to remember that despite what it feels like, looks like, seems like, it's a great day to be great. Y'all have a phenomenal rest of the week. Talk to you soon. Peace.